Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Tyler.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's a wooden box.
It is a wooden box. Yes, that's true. Okay, so in this wooden box, I have something really cool. Today, you guys, you know what? Scoot in. I feel like you're all the way over there. Scoot in. Okay. So you guys can see it's a surprise for them. Okay, so in this wooden box, you guys are going to learn about a man today who had a lot of things. Abundance, he was blessed, it was great. God shares a lot of things with us. So in here is my roommate's mini Jenga set. Ooh. So.
Well, let's build a Jenga tower.
So this man, that's what I want to do. Help me build a Jenga tower over here.
I'll do so. No, it's like this.
No, not like that, like this. So this man.
It's like this, it's right down.
Builds this big tower. Because he has so much stuff, and it's awesome. So
Howie.
Yeah, so he builds it up, and he builds it up, and it gets so tall. Yep, put that one on there. That eventually,
right, can I have one? Box.
Awesome. That eventually, this man's tower is so big, and he has so much stuff, he's just building this tower for himself. Let's get this over here.
In my collection.
And then, I think you're onto something, and then it falls down.
Yes.
We all saw that.
Right structure.
So it fell down because we're not meant to build giant Jenga towers all for ourselves. And we're not meant to keep all the stuff that we have for ourselves.
Okay.
It's like getting a box of cookies. You guys like cookies, right? I love cookies, so I think you guys should be a little bit more excited. I love coffee hour because it has lots of cookies, and it's like
it should be laid down.
It's like getting a box of cookies and you eat them all for yourself. Right.
Should be laid down.
So this man builds this really big tower all to himself, puts all his stuff in it, knocks it down, builds a bigger one all for himself. And God says something to him that basically, God says, you know, we're not meant to take all this stuff and keep it for ourselves. And we have a lot of things. We're meant to share it because we are a people called to share.
Share.
We're called to help people. We're called to share. So when we have a lot of things, when we have a box of cookies, share it with your friends. That's what we do during coffee hour every Sunday. We bring cookies and food and we share it with everyone. Imagine if one person just sat at that table. Imagine if I just sat at that table and ate all that food while all you guys were all sitting at tables. That would not be good. We're not called to do that. We're called to share in that. So you guys are going to learn about what it means to call to share. Do any of you guys have any more Jenga blocks? I'm
going
to grab these two. Okay. But I want you guys to go off in this Sunday and learn that you're called to share. So,
no Sunday school today.
Eat and listen to a sermon eventually about what it means to share and how we're people called to share. So, let's get up and head back to the seats then.
A reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 49 responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding. Why should I be afraid in evil days, when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me? One can never redeem another, or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of a life is so great that there will never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever, and never see the grave. Graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves. Reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Just to make it clear, I did not choose those readings. The church gives us those readings. You know, in 1984, I moved to serve as pastor to two congregations in north central South Dakota. Rural congregations. I'd never lived on a farm. I lived in town. The town had fewer people than my housing complex. There are about 280 people in town, and I think that counted the dogs. But I didn't know much about farm or farming at all. And one of the colleagues of mine gave me an invitation to do a ride-along, and he was going to teach me farm. So we went out in the country and drove around, and he was pointing out the different crops. I could tell sunflowers from other things, and I was also pretty good with corn. But I never got it down on wheat and barley and rye. When they first come up out of the ground, they're different colors. Rye is a real light pale green, and barley is darker. But then when they ripen, they're all the same color. And I never could tell those crops apart. One of the things that Owen said on this ride around is that you can notice and tell one of two things looking at a farmyard that has those big silos, blue harvester silos. He said, whenever you see a farm that has more than one, you know one of two things. Either that's a very rich farmer or a very poor farmer with a big debt. Poor in the sense of cash money. I thought of those big silos when I heard this story that Jesus told. Here's a rich farmer, but a foolish one. He's lucky, but he's lonely. He's a landowner in a country where very few people owned property. And now he has this abundant, bountiful harvest. It's a miracle, really. The people who were hearing this story would have been alerted that something out of the ordinary is going to happen. If a man lacks sufficient storage space for the harvest, how big is that harvest? A rich man, a landowner, would ordinarily have enough storage space for an expected, even abundant harvest. So this man responds with drastic action. Come on in, Marcia. She's got to get her spot. All right. So this man, instead of building on or adding on to his barns that he has, he decides that he needs to tear down the old barns and build newer, bigger ones, big blue silos that he, I'm going to get right here. The sun is shining on a car. Somebody's got a clean car. So this all or nothing attitude of Jesus, that Jesus tells about, is common in his stories. I thought of the story of Jesus, that Jesus told about the man who found a treasure in a field, and then he sold everything that he had in order to buy that field. It's an all or nothing. And that kind of theme runs through many of Jesus' parables. So this idea of Jesus, that Jesus brings to this story, that the man is going to tear down the barns and build new ones, it's a pretty drastic measure. If all the barns are torn down and new ones need to be built, the size of this harvest is well beyond what could have been expected, even in a very good year. Such a good harvest can only imply a miracle of God's blessings. Jesus' listeners would easily have made a connection to other miraculous abundance stories. Two come to mind immediately. Tyler, you should think of this one. When Joseph was Pharaoh's steward, that was our theme for Vacation Bible School. So Joseph stored up the surplus from the bountiful harvest in preparation for the coming years of drought and famine. A surplus today points to a barren future, famine in the future. Another connection that would have come to mind for Jesus' listeners there in the first century would have been the manna in the wilderness. The story and the Sabbath preparation, if you remember that story of the manna, they were told to gather on the sixth day to gather a double portion and save it up for Sunday, for the Sabbath day, not Sunday, for the Sabbath. And on that seventh day, there was no manna in the field. There was nothing available for them. God's bountiful harvest on the day before the Sabbath provided for the Sabbath. As they remembered these stories from their history, Jesus' listeners would have been asking some questions, trying to make sense of what this farmer is doing. This doesn't make sense. What kind of harvest demands such drastic action of tearing down barns and building newer and bigger ones? We answer that question. Of course, it's a blessing from God. It's a miracle. And this miraculous abundance would make the listener anticipate that certain things are going to happen. A miraculous harvest will demand certain things of that farmer. To tear down his barns and build larger, new barns implies that he, like Joseph, will take care of the people in the coming years. Wealth implies social responsibility. As they're listening to this story, the listeners would expect that the rich man, who is prudent and wise, that he's preparing for lean years, the lean years that are coming for himself and for the people. But that's not what happened. Jesus didn't tell the story with the rich man sharing. This is a miracle that's mismanaged. Jesus tells this parable as a kind of warning. Where did this landowner go wrong? He remembered the wrong things and forgot the right things. St. Augustine said, God gives us people to love and things to use. Sin is getting the two confused. The farmer in Jesus' story had that problem. He was confused. He got the people and the things mixed up. He thought only of himself. You know, this guy really needed to get out more. He only talks to himself, and he only talked about himself to himself. Every line that the farmer says is spoken to himself, and everything he refers to is about himself. My soul, my goods, my barns, me, and me. There's no one else in the story. Just this egotistical, self-centered farmer. Oh, until the very end, when God speaks. The things that you have prepared, whose will they be? He asks the question. The listeners of this story, remembering what the purpose of a miracle and abundance would be, they know that, first off, wealth should be used for the community's good. And then they also know that this farmer is committing a sin that the first century had this idea of limited good. There was a demand to share wealth. If one person hoards the wealth, then there is not enough to go around. If there is surplus today, there will be shortage tomorrow. So the rich man saving up of his harvest to provide only for himself really offends against the community. It wastes God's gifts, and it ensures that other people will end up in poverty. On one level, this parable illustrates the evils that lie in the part of the wealthy man as he attempts to preserve his own wealth. He didn't acquire his wealth by evil means. It's God's miracle. Just like the surplus in Joseph's time in Egypt or the manna in the wilderness before the Sabbath. And we expect that this wealth would be stored up for the community's benefit. But this man, however, intends to store up not for the community's charity, but for his own comfort and pleasure. He mismanages the miracle. His plan, though, doesn't get fulfilled. And God promises him that before the night is over, so will be his life. The story concludes with God's question and the implication that the wealth will now be used for those for whom it was originally intended, for the community. I guess it's true. You can't take it with you. In Jesus' story, in all of his stories, parables, and examples, whenever Jesus spoke of harvest, he was talking about the kingdom of God. The rich farmer tried to hoard that abundant harvest that was clearly a miracle from God, but it didn't end well for him. In only thinking about himself, he forgot about the kingdom. He forgot that God's gifts are always to share. I read a meme on Facebook last week that really applies to this gospel lesson. It said, when you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. Build a longer table, not a higher fence. People of God, inheritors of the kingdom, hear this good news. You are secure in the kingdom. You are secure in life and in death because of Jesus Christ. It is God's good pleasure to give you all you need. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, rejoice, work, rest. All of this, your whole life, and even your death is made holy and is secured by the one who said, this is my body, my blood, my life, my death for you. And as for that grain in your barns, that work that you're really good at, those accounts that you manage well, they are definitely not for the purpose of securing your soul. They're totally worthless for that, because that's not what they're intended for. In God's economy, the abundant harvest is only meant to be shared. Our time, our talents, our possessions, all that harvest that we are saving up is just what God needs to answer your neighbor's prayer of give us our daily bread. So build longer tables. That's how you store up treasure. That's how you grow rich in God. Amen.